Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's the start of Ravens Week and... Ba-boom! The first shot has been fired. Like at Lexington and Concord. By Mike Tomlin. At Deontay Johnson.
If Mike Tomlin keeps this up, he's going to screw around and find himself way in the pony good graces.
Science!
What if he had said something like, we're not going to look backwards when it comes to Deontay Johnson?
Oh, man.
I don't want to drop the ball here, but he had just started making every one of your favorite lines there. You know, you ever get asked about somebody and it's somebody you don't like? Like professionally or whatever.
So when people would ask you about Starkey or me about Cook?
I thought your immediate joke was, so when people ask me about you, Malzy.
By the way, how about Cook? Today is Amanda's birthday. The first person to send her a lengthy text.
Ron?
Ron Cook.
Holy crap. Has Ron sent you a single text since he retired?
No.
That is unreal, man.
A biblical text. There were multiple paragraphs in there.
It's hard for me to even imagine him punching away, because don't you look at him and say, that's a guy with big phone font, where he's got like, you know, he's only fitting 10 words on the screen, so that thing's got to be like a column for him to scroll through.
Mm-hmm. Well, but anyways, when people ask you about people you don't like.
In any like respect, if you could ask like professionally or even personally about somebody that you know, but you maybe don't like.
So someone asked you about Dale Lally, for example. You guys have had a touch-and-go relationship.
Well, we'll use that for an example. Let's just say, like, Dale is, you know, competent reporter, whatever. He's plugged in, he talks to people. And I could say certain things about him. It might be relevant, right? But I could also choose to, if I thought I could take a shot at him that was plausible, but I didn't otherwise need to take, I might take it. I might be like, but, you know, Dale is writing for the Steelers website or something, so you always have to wonder if there's an influence there because he's under the umbrella of the team. Like, whatever it could be. You throw in a little snide remark to make it very clear that you don't like the guy, even if it might be true in some way. I thought that's what Tomlin did here. He didn't say anything right there in that clip that is not accurate about Johnson with the Ravens. If I were making a priorities list as a defensive coordinator or a defensive-minded head coach, who keeps me up at night on their offense? The list would go something like this. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews in nearly a dead heat. Probably Isaiah Likely if he's out there, because the guy is very athletic and, as Tomlin noted, made a big red zone touchdown catch against them a couple years back. And then, honestly, I might still even throw in Rashad Bateman. How many guys did I just name? Six?
I lost track. Yeah, it was more than a handful.
It was a lot of players, was it not? He also tossed in, which I appreciated for the Philly people out there, Nelson Aguilar, he made sure to mention. And I just think that it's true what he says. He's not on a lot of their tape. He hasn't gotten a lot of snaps, but he did not have to say it. He could have said, let me put it this way, Batko was on with Starkey for the last 2 hours, and he knows Mike, he's in that room a lot, or he was in that room a lot, and so he knows how he does this stuff. Mike, if he wants to, can put lipstick on something. He can say, oh, we know that Deontay's a very capable guy, but he's just getting acclimated there, much the same way, say, Mike Williams is with us. So when we scout them, we're just not seeing a lot of him yet. You can put it in such a way as you praise the guy or you respect the guy's skills. He didn't do that.
He threw shade at him.
He's trying to poke the bear.
Yeah.
He's trying to make it very clear, as if it wasn't already, that he has no love lost between him and he and Deontay Johnson.
So do you guys think from hearing this that it's gotten so personal between them that Tomlin broke his own rule? Because I do. I think that this is such a fractured relationship that Tomlin went out of his way twice in this press conference. One, when naming random ass guys that have flipped sides in this rivalry, he points out Chris Wormley being on the Ravens practice squad, but doesn't mention a guy who's had 100 catch season here and 1,000 yards, and they gave a second contract to and paid almost $20 million a year. He failed to mention him. And then when Jeff asked about Deontay being a weapon or a threat in this game, completely crushed the guy.
See, I thought the stuff before Jeff's question was even more damning. If he wants you to know that somebody has his attention, he mentions them in the initial run-up. He didn't mention him. He talked about all the different weapons they have. It was like he stopped intentionally just short. I think Aguilar was the last name he gave. Like he stopped just short of saying Deontay Johnson. Then when he gets into the Wormley thing, he's bringing up Arthur Maulet.
Yep. Who actually does get more playing time for them than Deontay Johnson.
Know my
but
point.
Still, he was a down-the-line corner.
It was notable omission. I think it was intentional, and it was very conspicuous omission by a guy that is whether he drives us nuts or not, or we just kind of find it funny, is an elite communicator. He gets his point across, and I do think that he has such a frayed relationship with the player here that you're right. He let it bleed over a little bit. There are people saying this is a nothing burger. Johnson doesn't play many snaps. Like I said, if he wants to give a guy praise, even if the guy
isn't
playing
a lot. Wait a minute, time out. Let me just stop you for a second.
Oh yeah, this is getting tweeted out. This is a nothing burger.
Nothing burger in that they don't actually think Tomlin has an issue with Deontay Johnson?
They feel like he said what he said because he just isn't playing very much for the Ravens and there's nothing to read into it. Yeah, people are saying this isn't him taking a personal swipe at Deontay.
People are tweeting you that?
I'm seeing at least one tweet. Donnie's landlord feels that way. I've seen Nick Faribault saying Nick Faribault suggesting that it's like not that big of a deal, matter.
In what respect that Tomlin actually has no issue with Deontay Johnson and it's all copacetic between the two? Come on now. I mean, I'll open up the phone lines 412-928-9370. Not a single person is going to call in and say that. That's ridiculous.
Here, this is what it is. Somebody said, people are going to take that Tomlin quote about Johnson out of context.
It's not out of context.
Nick, Tomlin basically just said he just got there and hasn't played much. I'm worried more about the guys who have played more. So Nick is just kind of, I guess, going down the middle, but like I'm seeing other people, this just isn't that big of a story. Dave, Donnie's landlord, says nothing burger. Johnson's been there for 5 minutes. If he disliked DJ so much, he wouldn't have given him $18 million per a couple years ago. The dislike started, I think, well after that.
Yes. When the guy watched a rolling football almost, hit him in the calf and didn't bother to bend over and pick it up in Cincinnati because he was still pouting and still pissed off about not getting a touchdown catch in that game. I mean, you're telling me that, now it seems like John Harbaugh equally doesn't have much use for Deontay Johnson. But if he wants to, he can take this and bring it to Johnson and say, look at what your former coach says about you. He's not worried or concerned about you whatsoever. If John Harbaugh said that about a former Raven, if he made a comment like that about Patrick Queen and said, there are guys on that defense that I'm worried about or I'm more concerned about than him, of course we'd spin it into a big deal. Well,
for the record, I don't agree with the people saying this. I am the messenger here.
I thought you were presenting me with a complete straw man opposition to this.
No, I've seen people say it. Here's actually part of what I want to know from you as a sidebar to this. You can't stand the player in question here.
Yeah.
You have mocked him probably pound for pound as much as any player recently.
And deservingly so.
You also, though, I would imagine, feel conflicted about this because I'm wondering what wins out here. Is this unprofessional, unnecessary bulletin board material by Tomlin? Or do you like that he's taking swipes at a guy you don't like?
I like it. If it were a situation in which I thought the guy could legitimately do damage and come and it would come back to bite the Steelers or hurt them in this game. If he made a comment about Mark Andrews in a subtle way being washed, if he mocked another guy who has had moments and is still showing that he can play, something like that, then I would feel about it the way I did when he looked past the Jaguars before that playoff game in 2017. You don't do that when it's a playoff game or a rivalry game. But in this case, I think he says it because he knows he can back it up, because he knows that he legitimately is not going to be concerned or worried about Deontay Johnson in this game. If Johnson were playing well, or you know, if they had just not involved him because he was new, that would be a different story. But I think, honestly, I think it might even be a gamesmanship point. Like, let me say something that gets under this guy's skin and pisses him off, because if I can do that, that might even make him worse. Like, I might be able to get him fired up for this game in a negative way when he does, or if he does play. I know how to push this guy's buttons. I was around him for a half decade. I wouldn't be surprised if that's part of Tomlin's approach to this either.
If Deontay goes off and has a significant game or makes significant catches,
it won't happen.
Then what?
So, yeah, I mean, you're giving me a hypothetical that I don't think will happen. If it does, then I'll say something like the sun shines on a dog's ass every once
so
in a while.
So not Tomlin's fault if he goes off.
No, I won't say that. I won't. Donnie, how do you feel about this whole deal?
I mean, I think it's pretty well known he like hates the dude, so I think it's a little bit more than a nothing burger. I'm going to have to unfortunately disagree with my landlord on this. Hopefully,
sorry,
he doesn't
Donnie,
take
I'm
it
just
out on me.
Getting another message. Your rent has gone up 300%.
And Faribault,
I guess I'll need a raise here.
People have said is like your big.
I don't know if Faribault was trying to throw cold water.
Well, like 4 years younger than me.
I think Faribault was trying to go down the middle on it a little bit, but.
Oh yeah,
I think
we love that in sports talk radio. Let's just go right down the middle, Faribault.
No, he's not in sports talk.
Okay.
Well, and he's never going to be with that attitude, Donnie.
Right, but I mean, yeah.
He'll be on Hillgrove Show this week. Don't worry about it. He'll get back in the mix. Anyways.
Listen to how feisty this guy is. He is fired up as all hell right now.
It's fucking Ravens week. Hell yeah, I'm going to be fired up. Let's go. We got a big game here.
I just think you love that your least favorite Steeler of the last how many years, would you say?
He's right now for me. He's public enemy number one as far as ex-Steelers
I just think you love that this is the main story, and I kind of do too.
There's absolutely something to this. I mean, we know how Tomlin operates. We know that he didn't like the guy, especially at the end. I would say that borderline hatred. I can't say it since we weren't there, but remember when he got traded and
the visceral reaction, fans didn't like it, but then we learned or found out there was more to it. There were things off the field that didn't sit well with the Steelers.
I think there's
yeah,
one
and then
thing
we immediately came to the thought of, well, Mike Tomlin really didn't like the guy, and they purposefully said, let's send him somewhere that will suck. Now he only had to deal with it for half a season, but I don't think there was any irony about him getting sent to the Carolina friggin' Panthers when that trade happened.
I think Mike just despises the guy because I think he can live with somebody like Pickens, who is volatile, emotional, but most people there will tell you is mainly ultra competitive to a fault. I think Deontay Johnson commits the Mike Tomlin cardinal sin. He appears to not give a crap at times. Like, just the demeanor. I think Mike likes rah-rah football guys, and like, fairly or not, I think he looks at Deontay as anything but. And so I think that's why you get him deviating from course here and actually throwing a few troll shots out there.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spaces for them as well. Guys get an opportunity to be a component of this thing, and even some guys flipping sides, you know. Guys like Patrick Queen and Moon being on this side of it, just like Arthur Millette a year or so ago, moving to their side of it. But I just think that that's a component of it, man, this intimacy in this relationship.
Also would go on to mention Chris Wormley, no mention of Deontay Johnson. And then when finally Jeff got around to asking Mike about facing the former Steelers wide receiver, he said they've got more significant pieces with larger roles.
Which is true.
When is he honest? He says he lies. When they face teams like the Raiders and Giants this year, he didn't say, well, those guys suck, or I'm not worried about this quarterback because there's honestly bigger weapons in this team's offense. He doesn't do that. There's an article up on our website, 937thefan.com, that says Mike Tomlin could turn the 0-16 Browns into the 85 Bears.
And has.
And yet he went out of his way to be brutally honest about Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, again, that's why I maybe it was a clumsy analogy, but I just think we all have a chance sometimes when we're asked about a person in our actual lives where we could tell the entire truth, even if like there's real truth behind it, but a lot of the time you don't do that because it's unflattering or it makes it seem like you hate that person. Mike didn't say anything factually inaccurate right now about Deontay. He is literally like the sixth option in that offense.
All right, do Steelers fans like Tomlin taking a shot at Johnson? One of the first texts we got in here is Tomlin is punching down. That this is a coach punching down here, and this is, I guess, basically behavior unbecoming of a head coach.
I'm trying to think of other coaches. I don't sit there and listen to them all the time who have taken swipes at
Bill Belichick
players.
Took swipes at Anthony Smith, but that was after the game.
No, I'm saying like guys who used to play for their team and moved on.
Mm.
That's what I mean.
I'd have to really ponder that one.
Like, have there ever been relationships between a coach and a departed player that were so toxic? Like, I'd have to go back to like when Buddy Ryan was doing press conferences or something.
412-928-9370. Here is Mike in Hampton, not Mike Hampton, the former Rockies pitcher. Hello, Mike.
No, it's definitely not Mike Hampton. Guys, I can't agree with you more. You know, you stole my thunder there with the little sound bite there, but the fact that he went to Jeremiah Moon, who most of us didn't know was on this team, let alone be a Raven previously, to Chris Wormley, who we thought retired, without even mentioning Deontay Johnson. Later on, he goes into talking about he gets down to Nelson Aguilar before he even says they got Deontay Johnson.
Why do you think Mike dislikes the guy so much? What's your theory?
My third point on it, I a million times agree with you, Pony, that he knows this guy. Mike Tomlin is so calculated that he spends senior days talking to guys who he might trade for 4 or 5 years later.
Right.
He is so calculated that he knows that to push his buttons, that if he can put this on that bulletin board, it is going to be negative to Deontay Johnson's work. They're going to say, Deontay, we're going to let you show up your former team, and this kind of stuff is going to backfire
on
the Ravens.
That's actually an interesting theory. Like, Chris, you like to bring up, and I agree with you, that John Harbaugh tries to one-up Tomlin and outsmart him and outfox him in these games. Is Tomlin trying to trick John Harbaugh?
Is he baiting him into trying to take himself out of his real offense to throw Deontay the ball a ton?
To get Johnson involved.
I know one person listening to this show right now who actually thinks that'll backfire on Mike Tomlin, and that is fake John and Robinson.
Oh, he's on the line right now.
Who is the biggest Deontay fan in the city of Pittsburgh.
Yes, he's a lawyer, so for all I know, Johnson might be a client. Hello, fake John.
What a clown move. saying that. I mean, what are you doing? The guy goes 7-2 for the first time in 6 years, and all of a sudden he's really feeling himself. Why would you poke one of the top 10 most productive receivers over the past half decade in the NFL?
Because he tripped and fell last week and made no plays, and
George
Carolina
Pickens slipped and fell twice last week. So what?
Because George Pickens came back and made spectacular catches, fake John.
Okay. So why? But why would you poke this guy when he can't even go against Dante Jackson because he can't stay on the field?
We don't know that yet.
Maybe he'll get Joey Porter, who will grab him by the face mask and get a PI every play. What a terrible, terrible move. Smash Baltimore -3 right now. I mean, what an obvious bet.
You're making it sound like this is when he said of Jacksonville, get your popcorn ready for Steelers-Patriots part 3.
Why is he feeling himself to that extent, which is exactly what he's doing? Like, tone it down, Mike.
Because he knows he can in this instance.
And
Mueller has abandoned you and is no longer on Deontay Johnson's side. So how does that feel, fake John?
Say that again?
I said Mueller has abandoned you and no longer thinks Deontay Johnson's a good wide receiver.
I think Mueller has a healthy fear of Deontay this week, as we all should. We all should. He's going to be targeted.
A healthy fear?
Chris, is that true?
Do you have a healthy fear of Deontay Johnson going into this game?
I do not think that it is completely harmless to
not just a fear, but a healthy fear.
What is that? What's an unhealthy fear? Agoraphobia?
I don't know.
Like stepping outside? I think he could. Here's why he called it a clown show.
412-928-9370. He's now attacking our head coach, Pittsburgh. Do we for once want to stick up for Mike Tomlin? Has the worm turned? I do. 412-928-9370.
You are saying he's attacking our head coach?
Yes. I'm like Kevin Costner in The Bodyguard. I'll take a bullet for the guy right now. Anybody else want to go to bat for Mike and not put up for that slander?
Donnie, do you want to? This is like cats laying with dogs. Left is right, up is down. What are we doing here?
Donnie has absolutely zero
healthy
fear of Deontay Johnson.
Here's the main reason I don't have a ton of fear about Deontay, and it's, again, the actual fact that is the root of what Mike said. I do think he is literally the fifth or sixth option in their offense. I don't think that Lamar has built up any kind of rapport with him yet such that he would throw to him before, unless he's wide open, before he'd throw to Zay, or before he'd throw to Bateman, or Andrews, or if Likely's in the game. Like, any quarterback's going to throw to the guys he's more comfortable with. That's what made, like, the Russell Wilson to Williams ball so wild. Russ just basically told him what to do and then heaved it up. That doesn't usually happen in big spots or just period in the NFL. There's usually an acclimation process.
I think if Johnson were to actually do something in this game, it'd be one of the loudest boos we've heard in Acrisure Stadium in some time.
I'm not saying I want it to happen because, of course, I want the Steelers to win and I would like them to humiliate the Ravens because I love it when Harbaugh looks like a complete idiot. But if Deontay even has like 6 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown, a good but by no means statistically overwhelming game, I feel like whatever is going to happen in here and the Ravens win on Monday is going to be DEFCON 1.
Oh, and Harbaugh is smug enough after the game to say, looked like a significant player out there tonight,
didn't he? Of course he is. Well, because that's the other subplot. These two coaches, like, Tomlin will say, like, Harbs and I, you know, we go way back.
They hate each other. They don't like each other.
They hate each other's
exactly.
guts.
They're on the attack here shorthanded. And in front, looking for a cutting Letang. Could not connect. The Stars numbers the other way. Marchman with Sagan fed there. Score! Tyler Sagan on the power play and make it a half dozen here in the first for Dallas.
I don't know if I have a good answer for you. They get a couple of fluky goals early in the first period. We get down that early. That many goals. But the rest of the period, we didn't play the game the right way. We were careless with the puck. We gave them some easy looks. They turned it into a insurmountable challenge. I don't know if I have a valid answer to this.
5 minutes on the Penguins. Actually, 6 minutes in honor of what happened in the first period last night. That's all they deserve. But we can't do a show in Pittsburgh without at least addressing the worst first period in the history of the franchise here in Pittsburgh. That's a Bob Grove stat. That's not hyperbole.
Do you know when the last time was they gave up 6 in any one period?
No.
April of 2021 in a game they won against the Devils 7-6. They gave up 6 in the third period.
I can't believe I forget that. Anyways, Forgot that. Few things here. Number one, Mike Sullivan still employed and apparently over at the Cranberry facility today, a team meeting at Center Ice. Mike Sullivan means business, folks. He is addressing the team at Center Ice on the state of this team. It is laughable that he is still the head coach. It's not all his fault. Bad managing by both Hextall and Dubas have contributed to their problem. Loyalty to star players, and not just star players, but even guys who helped win cups, a ring below those guys, and extending them out and giving them long-term deals has hurt this franchise. But I know he won back-to-back cups, and no other place does this happen where a coach gets this much grace in the NHL of all leagues. This franchise used to never believe in that stuff. How do you say with a straight face that this team still wants to follow him and still wants to carry out his orders?
His directives.
When we see a game like that, which...
Was it even a hockey game after the first couple minutes? I mean, really. It was a farce.
The worst part about it is we've seen them do this now for 2+ years. It was just the most exaggerated example of it last night with odd man rushes. And then Sullivan says after the game, a couple of fluky bounces. What are we doing here?
His unwillingness to just destroy them publicly is starting to grate on me.
No, he did that a little bit, I guess, called out Carlson indirectly a few days ago, but
okay,
I get your point.
But, like, a few bad bounces, just people don't want to hear it, man. And I think he has... I used to really like the fact that when he took over from Mike Johnston, Johnston's press conferences were so torturous. I know you remember this. It just sounded like a professor who, like, didn't have control of the classroom. Sullivan would come in there and give you, like, pretty direct, pretty sharp answers. A couple of bad bounces. Mike, who gives a rat's ass? The Dallas Stars scored more than the Dallas Cowboys.
The campaign by both the Pittsburgh Penguins media and the international media to paint Kyle Dubas as some savior figure for the Penguins, and oh my God, we were so lucky that he didn't want to take time off after getting run out of Toronto, that he wanted to come and work with Sidney Crosby and Mike Sullivan, and thank God we rid ourselves of Ron Hextall. This is just a younger, better speaker, someone that is able to package a message better. In no way tangibly is he better than his predecessor. He saddled us with three immovable albatross contracts: Erik Karlsson, Tristan Jarry, and Ryan Graves. None of those moves are Ron Hextall's fault. Those are all things that Kyle Dubas did in the name of trying to wedge back open this team's competitive window, and it is blown up in his face in spectacular fashion. Yoey wrote today, those guys are immovable. You cannot trade them.
Well, that's because
you're stuck with them.
The Penguins love giving signing guys to extensions into contracts that have no movement as just part and parcel.
But nobody would want them, even
if they
were. I am aware.
I know what you're saying.
Even if they did not have a clause in their contract. Nobody wants those guys.
I understand that.
At their price point.
I think he is, Dubas, that is, very much one of the biggest responsible parties here.
He's a culprit in this.
But
he's not a victim.
I do think it is relevant and necessary to say, and this is what I say to Pomp or Richie every time I'm on the sports call and they come up and they're getting killed in a game or they've just gotten
killed. So you're getting used to rehearsing this message then. You've said it many times.
They wanted this. As an organization, top down, they wanted this. Fenway Sports Group wanted this. The core stars, the big three, I don't count Karlsson, one because he's mostly been blah since he's been here and he's not one of them. Letang, Malkin, and Crosby, especially Malkin, they all wanted this.
Tomorrow night is Malkin milestone ceremony night before the Red Wings game.
Round numbers, baby!
And we got Sid at 600 coming up soon.
Hey.
More nostalgia.
Round numbers. Let's keep that tour going. Rolling Stones. Let's go around the globe one more time.
I don't take any kind of perverse delight in shredding them because they have given us more great moments than any of the three teams in town over the last 20 years since Sidney Crosby showed up.
I don't take perverse delight, but you know why I'm pissed off about it now? And granted, this is me going back a little
bit. Because
you
could have seen this coming?
No. I mean, I said, hey, they're outperforming like what normal aging stars outperform. Maybe they'll be able to make it work. It's been fun to watch. But they had, in retrospect, a chance to do what the Kings never did and a chance to do what the Blackhawks didn't do, which is, and the Kings have already done successfully rebuild it and the Blackhawks are struggling, with Crosby being so good every year.
And so healthy.
They really did have a chance to restart this thing on the fly, kind of the way Washington early on looks like they're doing, and they didn't take it. They said it is way more important to us that we are subservient to the wishes of the players who have played here, i.e., the names on the backs of a handful of jerseys meant more than the crest on the front,
and
Tony.
Donnie, did you hear some of the angry calls into the Penguins postgame show last night after this debacle? Oh, wait, you didn't. Because they don't allow people to call in and raise concerns and talk about their frustrations.
Weird, isn't it?
They have censored that.
Because, I mean, I don't mean this as a shot, we at the Fan carry a team that provides a lot of frustration for people.
Multiple teams.
And we always allow them to sound off.
Have you heard some of those Zangrilli postgame shows?
After all 162 games, people get that opportunity.
I think Zangrilli did 3 hours after the Tellez decision got made.
I thought the bit here was going to be, Donnie, do you have some of those calls and you were going to play a cricket sound effect?
Well, Donnie brought up, wasn't the attendance number about as low as it's ever been there last night?
Well, I went to the one on Halloween that had the lowest.
Yeah.
I was going to say they should have offered free tickets to a future game for people who stuck around all three periods.
I will say, as a former half-season ticket holder and all this stuff, and professionally, no one in there ever treated me poorly. I always got treated well by any of the media relations people, never had any like issues when I would go, because I used to go and be able to cover a lot more of these games more regularly, Pony.
Before you had kids?
Yeah, like when I had time, I liked
Before
to go
life
over
got
there.
In the way.
I actually tried to get my nose in there and ask questions. So I never had any issues with anyone, but I don't think I'm breaking new ground for anyone that pays attention. No organization in town, and they had a lot of success, it's easy to get this way, I think acted more arrogant about how good they had been than the Penguins. They loved rubbing it in people's faces. We're the Penguins. We're the gold standard. Now what? Now you're controlling the message? What the hell does that make you?
Here is Joe in Brookline on back to Mike Tomlin and Deontay. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, man.
Real quick, I hope it backfires. I'm just worried that they concentrate on Flowers and they concentrate on Henry and he ends up being a culprit to make something big that day. I just don't want it to backfire. That's all I'm worried about. If it doesn't, it does. If it doesn't,
let me ask you a question, Joe. If you were mm-hmm. Omar Khan or Art Rooney, would you have cringed when you heard Tomlin make those comments today? Would they have not sat well with you? No.
It's not gonna make me cringe. I like the backfire, because I don't like Harbaugh. I never did and never will. So I hope it works. I hope he does concentrate and use Deontay. I do.
Your phone's cutting out on us. You're hoping that there's some gamesmanship here and that makes them want to go to Deontay Johnson.
I mean, here's why them going to Deontay, even though I think he's like probably in a vacuum, I think he's better than you guys definitely think he is. He is still objectively like the fourth or fifth best offensive player not named Lamar Jackson on their roster. So if you are targeting him a bunch more, you are by definition not handing it to Henry, not throwing it to Flowers, not throwing it to Andrews, not even throwing it to Likely.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.